What gets your attention? You're sitting quietly, there's a loud noise, gets your attention. You have to go and check it out. Actually, as a parent, sometimes silence gets our attention. When our kids are silent, we have to go and check it out. Shouldn't be that way. It's not normally that way. Maybe you see an accident, or you get sick, something different, something weird. Maybe a good story. A good story gets my attention. I remember a number of years back when Christmas gathering and we came home, we were sitting at Linda's parents downstairs on the farm. All of a sudden, Dad starts talking about his childhood. And I was intrigued. And I don't know how long we sat there, but we sat there for hours. Dad did most of the talking. And it was interesting to hear his story of how he's made his way in this world. A few years ago, my dad sat across the table from me and he shared with me how he came to Lacrete. And then the whole Burgtaller Sommerfelder church split. And how he saw it from his perspective. It was interesting to listen to see how much church has changed and yet remained exactly the same. A few Sundays ago, I attempted to share a story with you from the perspective of Peter. I tried to put myself into Peter's shoes. And as I shared with some, not with all, I don't believe, that it was difficult. Because when you put yourself in that story, all of a sudden something happens in here. It's not just a story anymore, but it touches us inside. So today, and in the next few weeks, Peter Jansen and myself are going to take a look at a few parables. Are they just good stories? Are they like the rest of this? Or are they something more? And I would like to say that they are something more. They're not just there for entertainment. But why would Jesus teach in parables? Is the first question that we asked as Peter and I discussed, you know, what direction do we take? It's the first question. Why would he teach in parables? Well, the parable of the sower is not the first parable that Jesus teaches, but it is where this question gets asked. And so as a result, that's the first one that we're going to look at. So if you have your Bibles with you, I have asked Martha to put it up on the screen, but I didn't do my stuff right, and so she may get it, she may not. If you have your Bibles, follow with me in Matthew 13. The parable of the sower shows up in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark 4, Luke 8, and Matthew 13, that's where this parable shows up. And so let me read a little bit. I'll break apart a little bit and just add a few things as I read. So it starts with this. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat, sat in it, while the people stood on the shore. Now Jesus has been teaching for a while. This isn't the first. And it's also not the first parable. But his popularity is growing. People are flocking to him. They want to hear his teaching. They like his stories. Verse 3 says, then he told them many things in parables. And so why? Well, parables went along with his other teaching. There are examples of sorts. So this particular parable starts like this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. What do you do when you get a story? Like I've already said, get yourself into the story. You'll get more out of it. You can identify with a few things. So he says this. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. So I'm going to stop there for a bit. Do you have ears? I think everybody does. Richard was telling me that one of his ears was plugged, but he still has ears. Are you hearing? Most of us would answer, yes, we're hearing. But are you listening? You know where I'm going with this. I don't have to explain that. But as I studied this week, I was impacted by it, and the impact hasn't stopped yet. And I hope that it will do the same for you. So this morning I have entitled, Do You Have Your Ears On? And Michelle asked me, what's up with that, Russ? And I said, well, it's a trucker's term. Get on the radio, so-and-so, do you have your ears on? So I called over to Jordan's office, and he said, 10-4, big buddy. Jordan knew what I was talking about. So there it is. So are you listening? Do I have your attention? Too often my wife will be talking, and although I know that she is talking to me, I probably can't repeat what she said. That's unfortunate. We do the same thing to our parents, our teachers, and even our friends. Doesn't matter. There are times we just get zoned out. We get very good at this. We nod, say the odd word. Watch yourself sometime on the phone. The words that you speak, are you really engaged? Or is it just to tell the other person that, oh yeah, he's still there, and for them to keep on talking? I do it, and I'm sure that most of you do it as well. We're too caught up in our own little world with our own problems that we really don't get the full message. So here Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. While I was in Bible school, I was preparing a sermon. And so I knew where I was going. And I read some other books to go along with this to try and broaden or get the full message of what was being brought up in the scripture. And this one author made a great comment on it. And I said, that's it. But I wouldn't tell the congregation who the author was. Because I kind of knew the congregation. I kind of knew the people in the congregation. I knew that if I would mention this individual's name, they would have shut me out right there. Because that person wouldn't have anything good to say. So certain words, people, situations set us off and we hear nothing else. Do you find this in your life? Something happens and bang, the wall is there and that's it. Doesn't matter what else that person or whatever that situation is trying to communicate, you're done. Nathanael says to Philip, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Same situation. Had to work with himself because nothing good can come out of Nazareth. So can God speak to you? Do you have an open mind? It's really what it means. Do you have your ears on? Verse 10 continues on. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak in parables? And so this is that question. Jesus says, do you have your ears on? He says this parable, and then he says, do you have your ears on? But then the disciples say, why do you teach like this? Why don't you just speak plainly? Maybe. There's another portion where they in John 16, where the disciples and Jesus have a conversation about him speaking plainly. I won't go there, but you can look it up. And so Jesus replies with this. He says, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. The other two portions of Scripture don't have this piece. Verse 12, whoever has will be given more. Has what? Faith, maybe? Understanding? Are your ears open? Can you hear? It's at this point that Matthew breaks into a quote from Isaiah 6, and I have to go there. I spent most of my week here. Let me read that. It's Isaiah's commission. It's Isaiah's vision. He said, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on the throne. This is verse 1. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah is right in the story. He's seeing this. This is a picture. It's very clear. He can write it out on paper. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings, with two wings that covered their faces. With two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling on one another. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe is me, I cried. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and he had taken, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard a voice. It was the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Isaiah says, send me. How can he answer like that after seeing a vision like this? Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Maybe it's whoever has eyes to see, let him see. Isaiah heard, and Isaiah would never be the same. This vision was very real to him. And because of that, he could respond like this. In verse 5, he says, woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. That thought doesn't say, send me. That sounds like someone who says, I'm unworthy, I can't go. I have seen me and how little I am. I can't go. But verse 7 says, your guilt has been taken away and your sin atoned for. Isaiah heard this. And this allows him to say, send me. Not because of who he is, but because of who that angel says he is. So how do you answer when someone asks you who you are? I'm a sinner. Saved by grace. We love that saying. And it's part of what was challenging me this week. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Okay, am I a sinner or am I saved by grace? Which one am I? Because if I'm a sinner, I can't go, but if I'm saved by grace, I can. So what have you seen? What are your life experiences? Where have you seen God? Are your ears open? Have you got your ears on? Christ's death and resurrection has paid for your sin, and you need only to accept it. If we don't accept it, then we're still, woe is me. If we accept it, we can say, send me. Let me read this quote that you find in all three of the Gospels. the one that goes along with this parable. He said, go and tell this people. This is Isaiah's message, and not a very encouraging one. Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Some versions in this last part of this verse say, be made complete or made whole. The people won't hear. That's what Isaiah's message, that the angel says, this is the message you're going to bring, but the people won't hear. You tell them, you go ahead, you continue listening, but you won't hear. You'll see it. You won't understand it. You won't discern it. It's not an encouraging message. Make their hearts callous. Close their eyes. Make their ears dull. It sounds like the message that God is giving to Isaiah is a message that the people aren't supposed to understand. Why would God do something like that? Why would he send us a message that we can't understand? It's not really a message that we can't understand. It's our problem. It's not God's problem. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Same message, two different understandings. To one, it's a stumbling block. The other one, it's a smooth road. Same message. So parables do two things. It hides the truth from the world. God doesn't want to hide the truth from the world. 2 Peter 3:9. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want to hide it. But rather, he wants to shake people out of their commonness, out of their slumber. He wants to awaken them. Wake up already. I'm right here. Do you have your ears on? Do you have your eyes open? Too many situations we find ourselves where we're there, but we're not really there. Maybe this morning is one of those times. Maybe you've got dinner cooking at home and you're wondering if it's going to burn. I don't know. Maybe you've got some sort of issues going on at your work. Don't know how you're supposed to approach your boss because it's really something you need to deal with. Maybe that's where your mind is. I don't know where your mind is. But we find all sorts of things so that we can't concentrate on where we're at. We do our devotions. 10 minutes later, they ask, what is your devotions about? I don't know. I read it over here. I think I read there today. I'm not there. You're in church. You're at youth. You're at Bible study. But you're thinking of what you need to do tomorrow. The troubles of tomorrow are occupying your mind. Maybe the troubles of today. Maybe the pleasures of tomorrow. I don't know what you're thinking. But I know oftentimes I'm not engaged. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. These parables are meant to shake us out of our place of daydreaming and into that place where we're really interested in what God is saying to us. God has already been speaking plainly. Jesus had already been teaching plainly. In Isaiah's time, it was plain. It was already there. Even in Isaiah, Isaiah 5 is a parable. Parables are nothing new of the New Testament. But people weren't seeing it. I have to read this passage in Romans chapter 1. It's a lengthy passage, so turn there if you have your Bible. Starting in verse 16, it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. It's plain. The message is already plain, but we don't get plain. Sometimes. Some of us do. Not all of us. It says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over. Verse 24. Verse 26, because of this, God gave them over. Then 28, furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do so that they do what ought not to be done. Gave us over as people. You want to live this way, you go right ahead. Then he did something about it. He made it plain. The gospel, that he is God, he's cut it out plainly for us. Then he also beat around the bush a little bit so that some of us might be tweaked and interested. Verse 31 in Romans says this, they have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. They have no understanding because they don't want it. The gospel is not for the lazy. And yet it's for the simple. Unless you accept it like a child. So it's accepting this plain, simple message. Then we need to study it. We need to get in there. Are we interested in it? Do we want to hear from God? Or are we good enough just to be saved? In Matthew verse 18, he goes on, the other thing, let me say here first, what parables do, it enhances the truth that we already have. If you already have the truth, this only enhances your understanding of it. Hides it from the world, and it increases those that already have the truth. Verse 16 says, Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So then he goes on to explain this parable. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. Let me clarify a few things. The seed is the message of the kingdom. It's laid out for us there. The gospel, the good news, it doesn't change. The seed doesn't change. It is a constant in this story. The farmer is not specified who that is. We have varying opinions on that. But it is the one who sows the seed or brings the message of the kingdom. Then our hearts are the soil of the seed that is planted. It's our inner being. That's the soil. Verse 19, when anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. What was sown in their heart, this seed is sown along the path. It's hard. Is this your heart? Is it hard? Even as Christians, I find we become so callous to some of these things that are in the scripture. It's right there. It's black and white. You say, oh, no. We push it away. I've found myself in many situations as I look back that I get so good at brushing that off that I don't even know I've been impacted by it. Because it's not the way I was taught. It's not the way that I was brought up. It's in the scripture, but I don't want that. It makes me uncomfortable, so I push it away. I get into that habit, and I push it away without even knowing that I've pushed it away. And the seed can have no impact on me. The gospel can have no impact. That's the seed on the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last for a short time. When trouble and persecution comes, that because of the world, they quickly fall away. This reminds me of revival meetings that we used to have. So many people that I knew, they got so excited and they gave their life to Christ and it was all good. 2 weeks later, they were back in the same junk as they were before. Shallow soil. I only want the good stuff. But the gospel comes with junk. In this world, you will have trouble. And when the trouble comes, we toss it all away because it's not just good. But it's our hearts that's the problem. It's our ears. We're not here. We don't have our ears on. We're not in tune. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word but worries about this life and the deceitfulness of wealth, choke it out, making it unfruitful. I see this one in myself the most. It excites me because it's not the rocky ground and it's not the path. And I'm saying this plant has a chance. Because we're struggling, I have this and I have this and I want to choose this and this is right there. And so there's this battle that goes on. Don't become discouraged because there's a battle going on. The plant has a chance in this. It's moving forward. This plant never bears fruit, unfortunately, because the world chokes it out. We get so caught up in the things of this world that we forget the things of God. We throw them away because it's going to... I don't want to pay the price in this world here. At the age of 24... when I rededicated my life and was baptized, I needed to make some changes in my life. I needed to go to those places where the thorns weren't. I had to surround myself with those people that didn't teach the way of the world. But we go there and we have both. And then we can't bear fruit. It's not a separation where we separate ourselves from the ungodly. But who do you hang around with most? Do you go to that place where you can be encouraged and lifted up and grow in your spiritual life? Or do you spend all your time with the world and think that somehow you're going to be able to be an influence there? Chances are that you're going to be choked out by this group. Needs to be some separation. The last soil is the soil that fell on the good seed. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. The heart was worked. We prepare our gardens and our land to accept the seed that we want to sow. Do we prepare our hearts to receive the news, good news of the gospel? Do you have your ears on? I was going to call Kevin Peters and ask him if I could use him for an example, but I will anyway. Hopefully he'll forgive me if I... Across the yard from Joel Peters, he's got a quarter section of land. He's got a little piece there that was just soft and mossy. They seeded across that piece year after year after year. And every year when they got into this patch, there was no grain. The swath was done. There was nothing left. So Anthony Peters has this nice big plow. And some of you may have seen it. Some of you might not have. But it goes pretty deep. I believe it plows 4 feet deep. So they took this plow and they put it on there and they turned that soil upside down. They worked it. Last year I went and I helped combine a little bit. When I hit this patch, the productivity on this piece jumped 20 bushels to the acre instead of nothing being there. But it had to be turned over, had to be worked. The path, the rocky soil, the thorns, and all those places can be good soil if it's worked. Do you have your ears on, or are we saying, no, this is how it is? And that's a struggle. My Sunday school class, we went through the Exodus. Read Exodus 7 to 11. The first interaction between Moses and Pharaoh is this. Pharaoh says, work a miracle. So Moses does. Aaron throws his rod on the ground, becomes a snake. Most of us would say that's a message, it's clear. But Pharaoh says, no, I can do that. My magicians can do that. And even when the magicians' staffs were eaten up by Aaron's, they still didn't get it. The next one, Moses turns water into blood. Pharaoh says, I can do that. Then frogs, the magicians did the same, but they couldn't make them go away. Then came insects. Magicians said, we're not able to do this. This is the hand of God. But Pharaoh still wouldn't listen. Do you have your ears on? Pharaoh did not need to go through what he went through if he had his ears on when Moses cast it down. There was a perfectly good sign. But I think we miss our signs. And Jesus gives us parables to open our eyes, to tweak our interest. But we're going to have to do some digging. We're going to have to spend some time in the Word if we want to get the message. Allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, you have spared nothing. You have created this world, and we can look at it, we can analyze it, and we know that it has to be created. We know it's from you. And yet as people, so many of us choose to ignore that and say, no, it just came to be. We're rejecting you. Father, you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. He lived here in human form. And although the people could see, and they could see that Jesus was from you, they still rejected him and killed him. Jesus is teaching, plain. And yet, sometimes with interesting stories and parables. And Father, we know that you are still drawing people to yourself today. Father, we can choose to say it's circumstance or coincidence or something else, but we can choose not to give you the honor and the glory for the things that are happening in our life. So often we do, and we repent of that. Open our eyes so that we can see you, so that we can live in the fullness of the life that you have promised. Whatever that means, Father, help us to understand. Make our hearts soft so that we can accept the good news of the gospel. Thank you for not sparing any expense to bring us back to you. name of Jesus we pray. Amen.